الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من تداين بدين وفي نفسه وفاؤه ثم مات تجاوز الله عنه وأرضى غريمه بما شاء، ومن تداين بدين وليس في نفسه وفاؤه ثم مات اقتص الله لغريمه يوم القيامة، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء کرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as we discussed last week, in the face of this pandemic that has wreaked economic devastation on a very large number of human beings, both Muslims and non-Muslims, very often now this question is being asked, that what is the solution? In Islam, in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, prior to whatever tests or trials or tribulations may befall us, we have been given a nuskha, a prescription, a formula that not only will give us the rahat and the success and the honor and the status of akhirat, but will address every one of the difficulties and maladies that may befall us in this world. Part of the aspects of akhlaqul hamida, beautiful akhlaq and morals of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when it comes to earning our livelihood, from a very young age, human beings, their psyche, their psychology, their thinking has been wired such that each one wants to become successful. And many of us tend to equate success with material wealth. How big your bank balance is, how many possessions you have of this world, based on that, we tend to judge or determine our success. Whereas when we look into the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we find completely the opposite. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, direct translation of the hadith, لَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ. He said wealth has nothing to do with possessions. How big your bank balance is, what your financial worth is, this will not make you a rich or poor. He said that has nothing to do with wealth. إِنَّ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَىٰ النَّفْسِ. What is wealth? Who is the wealthy man? Like we mentioned last week, he said, the one whose nafs, whose heart is rich, he is wealthy. What is meant by the richness of the heart? Qanaat, contentment. Like the poet said, Al-Abdu Hurrun in Qana'a. The slave is a free man if he has contentment. Al-Qana'atu Kanzun La Yafna. Qana'at is that treasure which is limitless. If you have contentment on little, there will be no one richer than you in the entire world. And on the other hand, Wal-Hurru Abdun in Qani'a. What is the opposite of Qana'at and contentment? Lalach, greed, avarice, constantly looking at what others have, trying to aspire to grow and increase your lot in this world, rather than being content with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you If that is going to be the mindset, then my respected brothers, like the poet says, وَالْحُرُّ عَبْدٌ إِنْ قَنِعَى, the free and the wealthy man will always be a slave. He'll always be faqir. He will always be poor. إِنْ قَنِعَى, as long as he has lalach and greed. كَانَ كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَى, his example will be like that person who will consume and consume and consume and consume, but will never become satisfied. And one of the downsides of this mindset of lack of contentment, of lalach, of greed, my respected brothers, exhibits itself very, very clearly today in the marketplace, where we find the entire direction of commerce or of worldly acquisition. The overriding principle is we have this mindset that it is okay to incur unnecessary debt. Become a debtor, procure the wealth of others, take loans, there's nothing wrong with this. In fact, if you look, unfortunately, Allah Ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي, Allah says, I deal with you as you expect from me. What expectation you have, accordingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you. Today you offer somebody gold, offer him something valuable, and tell him that you have to pay current, he's not interested. Offer the same businessman absolute rubbish and trash and give him terms, he's very, very interested. Our entire livelihood and earning has gone in the direction of incurring unnecessary debt. The harms of debt, what will be the eventual outcome of this? In this world, the psychological effects, what the effect will be in akhirat, that concern, that consideration, unfortunately, no longer remains within us. Debt, my respected brothers, if you look at the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one occasion, Sahabi says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam making dua. What was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqr, min al-kufri wal-dain. Literally translated, what does this dua mean? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Allah, I seek your protection. O Allah, I seek your protection from kufr. What can be worse than kufr? Dying without iman, dying without tawheed. إِنَّهُ مَنْ أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ, Allah says that person who dies on shirk, who dies on kufr, who dies without iman, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, we have made jannat haram upon him, his abode will be jahannam forever and ever. So Nabi Pak Salaam is seeking protection from that. That is understandable. What can be worse than that? What greater plight? And yet in the same dua, the reason I am mentioning this as an introduction is understand, more fasih, more eloquent than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no one. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ, Allah says, whenever we sent a Nabi, we gave him proficiency in the language of his people. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ummi, he was unlettered. He could not read or write. This was part of his mu'jiza and miracle, but his proficiency in the understanding of the Arabic language, his eloquence, his balaghat was on an unmatchable level. Allah Ta'ala says, every Nabi we sent him with proficiency in the language of his people. لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. One of the principles of eloquence is that there has to be equanimity. There has to be balance in your speech. In the same sentence, you don't talk about a mountain and an ant. If you are speaking of few things, the principle of balaghat and eloquence is that there must be tawazun, there must be balance. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is seeking protection for two things in this one dua. One is kufr. Worse than that, we can't imagine anything. What is the second thing? Like I said, understand this, my respected brothers. The second thing will be, if not equal, almost equal in harm to the first thing. This is a demand of eloquence. You don't talk of something big and something small in the same sentence. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufr. O Allah, I seek protection from kufr. What is the next thing that he asks for? O Allah, I seek protection from debt. O Allah, I seek protection from being in a position where I owe money to someone. Sahaba, they were not like you and I, go through one year out of the other year. The moment the Sahabi hears this, he gets a shock. Because he understands the implication of this type of expression. So he asks the question. What is the question? Ya Rasulallah, atadilul kufra biddain? He says, O Nabi of Allah, atadilul kufra biddain? Are you equating debt with kufr? Are you equating debt with kufr? Because they understood. In the same dua, he will not ask for two things unless they are equal in harm or close to it. Atadilul kufra biddain? As harmful as kufr is debt just as harmful as that? What was the reply? Naam, yes. It's not an accident. It's not an accident that I am asking Allah to protect me from kufr and from debt in the same dua. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-daynu rayatullahi fil ard. Fa'idha arada an yudhilla abdan wada'ahu fi unuqihi." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, debt is Allah's flag, is Allah's banner, is the thing which Allah uses to mark people on this earth. When Allah decides to disgrace someone, then Allah Ta'ala puts him into debt. إِذَا أَرَادَ أَن يُذِلَّ عَبْدًا وَضَعَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَضَعَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ means Allah creates an unbearable burden of debt on someone if Allah wants to mark this person and disgrace this person. Another hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, أَقِلْ مِنَ الدُّيُونَ أَقِلْ مِنَ الدُّيُونَ he said, stay away from unnecessary debt. Stay away from procuring unnecessary loans. Ta'ish hurra, you will live a free man. La tukhifu anfusakum ba'da amniha. He said, don't lock yourself up. Don't put yourself in a cage after Allah has given you aman and peace and freedom. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what does it mean to put myself in a cage? What does it mean to lock myself up? What does it mean to, for a life of khawf? For a life of fear, for a life of unhappiness, for a life of becheni, for a life of restlessness, for a life when you don't know day from night and night from day. What does this mean? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dain, it is debt, unnecessary debt." My respected brothers, Allah's Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam took loans during his life. There is no doubt about that. But the loans that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took, the loans that Sahaba took, more often than not, what was it? More often than not, what was it? Some poor person came for help. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have it, the means at the time. Okay, take a debt on my behalf. I will pay it back. That was the type of debt that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took. Today, with us, what is it? I want to expand my business. I'm driving a small car, I want to drive a big car. I'm living in rented accommodation, I want my own house. I want to keep up with the Janes and Jones of society. My daughter is getting married, my son is getting married. Avenues where Sharia said adopt simplicity, what we do? Put ourselves into unnecessary debt. Whilst procuring a loan is permissible. But what is the mizaj and temperament of Sharia? Take a debt when it is necessary. Unnecessary, you want to expand your business? Don't do it on credit. Forget the bank and interest, that's a separate matter entirely. Unfortunately, today Ponzi schemes. Today the person is like a sheep when he approaches someone. This promise, that promise. Very often I give this analogy. Muhammad went to Abdullah, told Abdullah, you know what, lend me 100,000. There's the PDC for the end of the month. 29th of the month comes, Muhammad is pacing up and down, he can't sleep. Wife comes to him, what happened, why can't you sleep? I gave Abdullah a check for 100,000. I borrowed the money from him, it's due tomorrow, there's no money in the account. Can't sleep. So what does Muhammad's wife do? She comes out of the room, phones Abdullah's wife up. Says to her that, listen, tell your husband, don't worry about putting the check in. Why? It's not worth the paper it's written on. The check is going to come back RD. There's no money in the account. Tell him, don't worry about putting the check. He's not going to get paid. Puts the phone down, comes to the room, says to Muhammad that, you know what? You can go and sleep now because Abdullah will be awake. This, we may find it amusing, but this is not exception. This is the reality. Unnecessary debt is being procured with absolutely no intention to pay back. Like I said, there are two types of debt. Sometimes a person is genuinely in a plight. Sometimes there is a genuine difficulty. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the hadith which I mentioned in the beginning, both instances are presented before us. First instance, I'm translating the hadith. Man tadayana bidain wa fi nafsihi wafa'uhu. Someone has a problem, a genuine difficulty. Based on that difficulty, he procures a debt. But he has every intention to pay back. He has made the intizam, halat and conditions, not unnecessary expansion, not greed, not lalage, not malice, no. Genuine problem, maybe a sickness, some great financial burden all of a sudden has occurred, lost his job, whatever difficulty, real problem. He procures a debt out of necessity, with every intention to pay back. Then unfortunately, circumstances are such, he is unable to pay back. ثُمَّ مَات. And he dies in that condition. Then what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? تَجَاوَزَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Allah will forgive this person. Allah will forgive this person. Not only will Allah forgive this person, but وَأَرْضَى غَرِيمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah Ta'ala will make his creditor happy on his behalf. Allah Ta'ala will make his creditor happy on his behalf. Allah will give him from the treasures of Jannah. Why? Because understand, when it comes to mu'amalat, when it comes to our dealings with our fellow human being, just to say maafi is not sufficient. The debt has to be paid. If the person doesn't forgive you, the debt has to be paid. If it is not paid in dunya, it will have to be paid in akhirat. If Allah's help is there, Allah will give him the treasures of Jannah. If Allah's help is not there, then the currency, la dirham wa la mata, there the currency will be our good deeds which will be given to that person. But the debt has to be paid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there was a genuine intention to pay. Allah's help will be with there. In fact, Bukhari Sharif Hadith, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam narrates one incident from amongst the Bani Israel. As we mentioned last week, very often, this was the practice of our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He would mention incidents from the past for us to take lesson. He says there was one person who got into a financial plight and difficulty, approached his brother. He said, I want a loan, lend me 1,000 dinar. I've got this financial problem. I have to undertake a necessary journey. That time it was a journey over the sea. What was the purpose of the journey is not mentioned in the hadith. Nevertheless, the person says to him, bring some witnesses to this transaction. Ushiduhum. I want there to be witnesses. So this person says, Kafa billahi shahida. Allah is sufficient as a witness. I will pay you back. Then he says, okay, I want a kafil, I want a guarantor. Someone to guarantee that if you don't pay me back, they will pay back. He says, kafa billahi kafila. Allah is sufficient as my guarantor. This person was sincere. So this person, the one who was giving the loan, accepted. Allah is sufficient. Allah is our witness and Allah is the guarantor. He gives him the 1,000 dinar and the time is fixed. After this period, you will pay me back. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the debtor undergoes this journey by ship, reaches his destination. Time passes. Now the time to pay the debt has come. But he cannot find any transport to take him back to his creditor. Now he is worried. What does he do? He takes the 1,000 dinars, finds a piece of wood, carves a hole, puts the 1,000 dinar inside, patches up the wood. Before patching it up, he writes a letter addressing the person who he owes the money to, saying that this is payment for your debt. I was not able to get a ship to bring me back, and I gave you a promise on a set time. So this is payment. Puts the paper with the money, conceals it in the plank of wood, then raises his hands. Allahumma innaka ta'alam anni taslaftu fulanan bi alfi dinar fasalani kafilan faradhiya bik wasalani shahidan فَقُلْتُ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا فَرَضِيَ بِكَ. Oh Allah, you know that I procured this debt from so and so, 1,000 dinar. He requested a witness and he became happy with you as his witness. He requested a guarantor and he became happy with you as his guarantor. Ya Allah, you have promised to help the sincere debtor. O Allah, I have every intention to pay him. You know my condition. Ya Allah, convey this to him. Takes the plank with the money and throws it into the ocean. Allah makes it such. This plank sails over the water, reaches the area where this person is living. This person, on the day he was supposed to be paid, happens to be looking around for some firewood for home. Finds this piece of plank. Thinks to himself, today I supposed to receive my payment, there is no sign of my debtor. Nevertheless, he goes home. As he starts cutting up the wood to put it into the fire, this crevice where the money was hidden gets exposed. In it he reads the note and he reads the letter. This debtor didn't just leave it at that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, several months later, when he finally makes it back, he goes with another 1,000 dinars. Another 1,000 dinars, presents it to his creditor. The creditor says, didn't you already make intizam? Didn't you already make intizam? I have received the payment. You can keep this other 1,000 dinars. That was a different time. That was wafi nafsihi wafa'uhu. That every intention was there to pay back. And wallah, if there is sincerity in the intention, and the debt is a necessary debt, by Allah's qasam, Allah's help will be with you. On the other hand, the second scenario Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam presents, man tadayana bidaynin wa laysa fi nafsihi wafa'uhu. The person incurs unnecessary debt. Why? He wants to expand his business. He's got enough but he's not satisfied. He's not content. He wants to raise the standard. He wants to live a lavish life. He wants to go on a spending spree, whatever it may be. He takes a debt, there is no intizam to pay back, there is no sincerity to pay back. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahash, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, is the narrator of the hadith. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana qa'idan haythu tuda'ul janaiz. One day a janazah took place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting at the place of janazah outside Baqiyah. رفع رأسه قبل السماء. All of a sudden Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked up. ثم خفض بصره. Then quickly he looked down. ووضع يده على جبهته. Looked down in shock, in astonishment. The body language, وضع يده على جبهته. Took his hands and put it on his forehead in shock. سبحان الله سبحان الله ما أنزل من التشديد. What a weighty command from Allah has come. What a weighty command from Allah has come. فَعَرَفْنَا وَسَكَتْنَا. Sahaba say, we saw this. We also were shocked. So shocked we were afraid to even ask what has happened. حَتَّى كَانَ مِنَ الْغَدِ. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahsh says, it took me one day to muster the courage to approach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا التَّشْدِيدَ الَّذِي نُزِلْ. Ya Rasulullah, what was it? What message did Jibreel come with yesterday that caused you to react like that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فِدَّيْن. Jibreel came to me with a message about death. About death. Kaan khol kar sun lena. Listen with the ears of Iman. Allah give us the tawfiq. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on. For what was the message? فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ عَاش ثُمَّ قُتِلْ وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْن مَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يُقْضَى دَيْنُهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The epitome, the height of achievement is to lay one's life down in the path of Allah. Sacrifice one's life for Allah's sake to become a shaheed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if a person has to become a shaheed, then be given life, and then become a shaheed again. And he dies whilst he is owing someone money and he hasn't made intizam. By the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this shaheed who was given life again and became shaheed again will never enter Jannat until that debt is paid. He will never enter Jannat by the qasam of the being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the debt is paid. This is not a light thing. Stay away from unnecessary debt. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, janaza is there. Inna sahibakum hubisa ala babil jannah bidainin kana alayhi. Hauna ahadun min bali fulan. Is there any family members here? Three times, is there any family members here? Somebody steps forward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upset. Why took you so long to come forward? This person, he points to the mayyit. His entry to Jannat has been stopped. Bidain in kana alayhi, because he has a debt which he has not paid. Now you have two choices, he's saying to the family member. Faslimuhu min azabillah. Save him from Allah's azab. Fafduhu, ransom him. Ransom him, O faslimuhu ila azabillah. O hand him over to the azab of Allah. That relative says, Ya Rasulullah, I take his debt upon me. What was the amount? How much was he owning? How much was he owing? How much was he owing for this type of warning? Hubisa ala babil jannah. His entry to Jannah has been stopped. Hand him over to Allah's azab or pay his debt. What was the amount? Hundreds of millions? No. Comes in the riwayat, dinaran, two dinars. Two dinars he was owing. Let us not take this lightly. Today you ask any economist in the face of this pandemic, what is the answer? They are saying if you are free from debt, you are free. You have nothing to worry about. Live a debt-free life. Stay away from unnecessary debt. To complete that hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person who procures a debt with wrong intentions, unnecessary debt, no intention to pay back, then what will happen? If he dies in that condition, اِقْتَصَ اللَّهُ, Allah will exact retribution from him on the day of judgment on behalf of his creditor. Let us not take this lightly. I will terminate on one dua that was taught to us. One person approached Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Pareshan, worried. What is worrying you, my brother? I am in debt. This was a slave. He took a debt to buy his freedom, a necessary debt. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to him, Ala u'allimaka bi kalimatin allamanihinna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لو كان مثل جبل صبير دينا أدى الله عنك. Should I not teach you a dua? Should I not teach you a dua which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught me? And then what does Ali radiallahu anhu say? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, If you have debt equivalent to the mountain of Sabir, a huge mountain range in Yemen, if your debt is equivalent to that entire mountain, read this dua with sincerity and Allah will free you from that debt. What was the dua that Rasulullah ﷺ taught us? Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik. Oh Allah, let me suffice with that which is halal from that which is haram. Halal, tayyib, pure, even if it is less, have contentment on it. Suffice with it. This is a dua that was taught to us. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik. Oh Allah, let me suffice with that which is halal from that which is haram. Wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. And oh Allah, give me istighnaiyat. Let me be independent of everyone else besides you. Let me be independent out of your grace from everyone else besides you. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. We have a beautiful guide, a noble master, an exemplary example above which there is nothing. Make dua. Allah save us from debt. Don't incur unnecessary debt. Stop looking at others. The person may be living in a palatial home, driving a fancy car. We think he's a millionaire and a billionaire. But bonded to the hilt, that is not something to be aspiring for. Don't lock yourself up after Allah has given you freedom. Don't become a slave. Don't destroy your life. Be content with little and stay away from unnecessary debt. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana.